I don't know what city I'm in. The alarm on my phone is blaring the Rocky song, lighting up the room just enough for me to see the shadowed outlines of walls and corners. I blink, trying to orient myself. There's no strip of hallway light coming from under the door. The sheets are silky, not worn-down cotton slept on by millions of bodies. They're probably not even white. This can't be a hotel. Someone groans beside me, and my stomach sinks with realization. I'm at home, where I promised not to use my Rocky alarm anymore. Alexander says it gets into his dreams. I grab for the phone, but it's 3:30 in the morning, too early for coordination. It crashes to the floor, an electronic trumpet encouraging me to jab at the air with curled fists. Staying beneath the covers, I dip my head over the side of the bed and silence the noise before easing myself back up. I should go, but instead, I peek across the king-sized bed toward Alexander. I just want to see his face, to make sure I haven't managed to annoy him before I leave for 3 days. But the blackout curtains make it impossible. I can't even spot his outline through the darkness. With a sigh, I slip my legs toward the edge of the bed. The chilled air outside the duvet hits one foot, and I steel myself for full body contact with the icy conditions Alexander requires to sleep. An arm shoots around my waist, dragging me into a cocoon of hot skin and muscles. I exhale my relief and melt into him. "I'm sorry about Rocky," I whisper.
"It's okay."
Alexander's voice is husky with sleep. He presses a kiss against my bare shoulder.
In my dream, I ducked at exactly the right moment. Then I came back up with a right hook that sent the other guy flying. Knocked him clean out.
Of course he did. A smile tugs at my mouth. Even in his dreams, Alexander triumphs. Some people might call this arrogance, but I recognize it as the confidence it is. There's a reason the other lawyers at his firm refer to him as the go-to guy. Alexander is reliable. He's unflappable. These are the qualities I appreciate most about him. I wouldn't have expected anything less.
"His face was blurry," he says. "But I'm hoping it was a predictive dream about McMurphy. I'm up against him in court today. And to say I despise that man would be an understatement."
It was definitely him. I'd recognize that stupid face anywhere.
"You were in my dream?"
"Oh, yes." I wriggle deeper into his embrace. "Right there on the sidelines, cheering you on."
"You're such an odd little duckling."
Alexander laughs softly against the back of my head. His voice turns serious.
"But he really does have a stupid face, doesn't he?"
"The stupidest." He sighs and presses another kiss against the back of my neck.
"I'll miss you while you're gone."
"It's only a few days." The reminder of work makes my leg twitch. It's probably been 3 minutes since my alarm went off, maybe even 4.
"Still."
"I know." "I get it. I do. Nobody likes being left behind. It's only a few days, but it's the dinners we'll eat separately. The nights we'll go to bed without each other. Large bodies of water will separate us. I'll miss you too."
"It's the last time, though."
There's no question in his words. It's a fact that's been decided. Was agreed to this weekend, the moment I accepted his proposal.
"We should celebrate when you get back. An engagement dinner. You land late on Thursday, right? Let's do it Friday. We can toast to the end of one chapter and the beginning of another."
"Yes. It's a lovely idea. Perfect, actually. What better thing to toast to than the ending of a 9-year career and the start of a marriage destined to last much longer?" "Let's do it."
"I'll make a reservation," Alexander says, loosening his hold. "And you'd better go. You're way behind on the schedule.